What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagre vernem zloty kde.
Hello and welcome to Golden Age, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
I'm very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Mm.
How have you been?
I've been good.
Good.
I've been better. So
speak to me.
Remember we were recording last week and I was a bit of a cough.
Yes.
And then I was the whole weekend in bed, coughing up all sorts of green gunk.
Oh, shit.
I wouldn't mind. Friday was fine. I went to bed Friday night, fine. And then Saturday morning I was no energy.
Sick as a dog.
Yeah. Well, it was just one of those, like, I feel like I've had snots all week now, you know?
Yeah. Feeling a little backed up.
Oh, God. I feel like I got one giant snot running from my nose all the way down the back of my throat. Think of that, listeners.
That's the COVID test. That's what they did that to you.
Yeah, that must be.
You, it's harming more people than it's curing at this rate.
Let's not do that.
Listen, more importantly than all that, Terry. Yes. Tell me about your Adam Sandler project. How is that developing?
I finished it. Yes. So I finished the watch part of it. So I am still...
Oh, I thought you were writing as you were going.
I was note-taking as I was going. So, right. I was, again, on my notes for some of them, I'm some of the sentences I've written, the next sentence, I'm just reread my last sentence. What the fuck have I written? So I finished up Hubie Halloween over the weekend when I was feeling sick as a dog, but I have to say, there was only one that you son of a.
I like that. I'm in a tea mood tonight. I've got a cup of tea. Sorry for the interruption and complete side rail, and some chocolate V&S biscuits for Duncan.
It must be something in the air or something because.
No. Hold on. What is that?
It's a carton of milk.
You know, I can't get a read on you at all.
It's not even a glass. Pint of milk. It's not even a... Is that a pint? No, it's a... Whatever.
It's like that Lemmy sketch. It's just a pint of milk.
It's a carton of milk. Check your size of that, you Trump.
What?
Oh, this is a classic.
Oh, what are you doing?
What are you doing with that carton?
It's just a carton of milk, it's just a pint of milk.
What'd you get that for?
Because I wanted milk.
Because I wanted milk, Belter. You better be sticking this online.
Oh, don't you worry, I am.
You got it up. It's just a pint of milk.
Unbelievable.
I was in the shop earlier on and I was like, you know, what do I want? And I was getting milk for the house and then I said, I just like a little... One of these.
A little snifter for myself.
You know, I wanted more than a cup, but I didn't want to be taken out of the bank of house.
I know.
I wanted my own milk.
You don't want house milk. You want your own milk.
See, we had a curry earlier on, so a little bit of milk helps, you know, round out the heat.
Oh, I go straight in with the Coke Zero with my curry.
Yeah.
All or nothing.
I found out that having 12 Coke Zeros in the house is not good for me. Because I just drink them all. I just drink them all. And then I'm like, oh, my stomach.
I find I just drink them because they're the coldest thing in the house.
Mm, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because the cordial is outside and the water and all that stuff. But
we keep our water in the fridge now. So it's ice cold water. But it still doesn't compare to a ice cold can right next to it. Like, what am I going to go for?
The first pop. I tell you, there's nothing like it.
It's like a Triple H pop.
Nothing like it.
Yeah. But no, I finished the six of them there, so I'm you know, sanding down my edges of my article. But I have to say there was only one of them really that I was like, well, maybe two, but where I was like, I do not like this at all.
Tell me which one.
I can't tell you that. You'll have to read the article or watch all six films.
I'll read the article.
Yeah. I'm doing the work for you, Andy. But there was a, like, what I will say is, like, there was way more heart in the movies than I realized or than I thought there was going to be. And like,
there's something, Adam Sandler's just got something. He's got that twinkle. I don't know what it is.
It's like, weird. There's like
I'll die for him, but one I won't watch jokes, his movies.
Like in Murder Mystery, and it kind of sums up. He's like, they're like, you're wearing a dead man's tux. And he's like, yeah, and I had to take the, it's a little tight in the crotch area. He's like, nah, I'm kidding, he's got me beat. Like, in that, in like, just like one beat, and I'm like, that kind of sums him up.
You know
up,
what,
like,
that is funny.
Yeah, it is, like, you know, he makes a joke and then just completely undercuts himself. Like,
he's just so likable.
Yeah,
so,
but
especially those kind of jokes just even add to his likability, like.
Yeah, and like, they're not good movies per se, but they're not. I thought they were going to be, I was like, I'm doing something bad to myself by doing this in condensing it. But you
do
know.
You think that Uncut Gems is Adam Sandler's best movie?
No, I don't think it's his best movie. Do I think it's his best performance? Possibly.
Not what I asked. Best movie.
Best movie is Happy Gilmore, mate.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's 5 stars.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
It probably is his best performance, though, in Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems is possibly, or that, or Punch Drunk Love, I would say.
Rain on me.
Still haven't watched it. I will never watch it.
Your boy's in it. War Machine, the Iron Patriot.
Yeah. War Machine, Andy.
Whatever.
Not whatever. War Machine.
Can I tell you something that I've been watching?
Sure.
I have been watching, I don't know if you've seen it, The Third Day.
I have seen it around. I haven't watched it. It's like 3 episodes, 4 episodes?
Well, now, Terry, that's what I thought. Because I watched up to episode three. And the way it ended, I kind of thought like, huh, okay, well, I guess that's that. And then I was like, and then I looked again the other day. I was like, oh, here's 4, 5, and 6. Like, oh, okay, great.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's 6 episodes.
I mean, it's got my boy Jude Law in it.
Yeah, I watched it in spite of that. But you know who's in it? I just got that spit take about 5 seconds. Too late. Your man is in it, and
Jamie, what else he's in? Come on.
The priest in Peaky Blinders, but you haven't seen Peaky Blinders.
He's
been in other stuff, but anyway, he's great, and he's like one of the locals. But it's really good. He's like, he finds this girl in the forest who hangs herself, and he saves her and takes her back to this place, OC Island. And it's only available, you can only drive there when the tide is out. Like, there's only one road to it, so it's like, you know, whatever, the thing is closing in 30 minutes before you can get in or get out and all that sort of stuff. But then the town's full of mad shit going on and all this sort of stuff. But
Is he from there?
No, she is, yeah.
But he's not.
No.
And so he's like, oh, what's going on in this place?
Yeah, exactly. But
How do we get out of here?
It was very like atmospheric, you know, gloomy, but, you know, interesting. I was never bored.
Kind of sounds like a bit of The Wicker Man.
Had that kind of vibe,
right? Not the Nicolas Cage version, obviously.
Oh, sure, yeah, right.
The bees are...
I've only seen the original, and I'm telling you now, I would prefer the Nicolas Cage version.
The Nicolas Cage version is great if you're like, we're sticking this on and we're having a laugh. Like, we watched it in Australia 100%. Having beer. I think we did a double bill of The Wicker Man and One Night at McCool's. And like, brilliant. They're kind of similar vibes. Like, and it just seems like, in terms of The Wicker Man, it's like, they just have a camera on an island with Nicolas Cage, and he's like running, like, let's go over here, come on, like, have you seen this girl?
Superimpose the bees.
He punches a bear, or he dresses up in a bear costume, maybe, I can't remember, it's all so weird, but also,
you know, that actually reminds me, there was a scene, I was watching Problem Child, the original Problem Child, the other day. And I have, because there was a scene where he's fighting the bear. Remember, he's like, "This is great. The kids are so scared." And you remember the proper bear comes out, whatever. It's like, "Oh, it's just a mean old bear." Like, what's your man John? Is it John Ritter? Josh Ritter?
John Ritter, yeah.
John Ritter
is the parent. He's the dad.
But like, this was PG, and like PG in 1990 is not the same as PG now. I was watching it with Joni. I was like, not so sure about that. You know,
who was Gilbert Gottfried in it?
He was like some sort of lawyer or adoption guy or something like that. Like, the kid's a little shit. The woman's actually funny. The one who plays Maid Marian in Men in Tights.
John Ritter's wife, you mean?
In real life?
Yeah. His widow, yeah. Yeah.
But she's
great. She's very funny lady.
She is. Like, is she still acting? I was going to ask you that.
No, I don't think so. I think she does, like I listened to her on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast, and she's very, like, they talk about, like, they both have Cameo, and she's like, "How much is your Cameo?" He's like, "I'm $70 and she's like, "Oh, you're expensive, I'm 40 but apparently she does a lot of work now with, like, Heart Foundation because of what happened with John Ritter.
How
he died, like, it was like misdiagnosed.
He died, like, on set for
he was misdiagnosed.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, a heart condition, and then he had a heart attack, like, very shortly after it or whatever. It was like, apparently it's a really common thing that can happen, but at the time nobody knew about it. She's doing, like, a lot of work to help
people recognize when it's something else.
But she's also very much, like, I don't know if she is Jewish, but she comes across with a very Jewish sensibility. Like,
I was thinking that, yeah.
She's in a lot of Mel Brooks movies, so, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. It's almost like an old Jewish cast in Mel Brooks. But apart from that, I have had nothing going on my end.
I'll tell you what I watched. Because I got my Adam Sandler done over the weekend. I watched Borat, and subsequent movie film.
Oh.
On Amazon Prime.
Thanks for the profile.
No problem. Have you taken it for a test drive yet?
I have been watching South Park every night.
Oh, okay. And what seasons have they got on there?
All of them.
Did they have the new one? The coronavirus special?
No. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it. I'm interested. My interest is piqued.
It was just nice just to see something.
To see them all back together. No, I missed
it.
But no, Borat 2.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's
come on now. Was it good?
It is good. There's a couple of times, because it makes you think, I'm like, yeah, it's funny. And then it's like, but is he just, like, these are just people that are doing, you know, having lives.
Prank comedy isn't quite as funny, like, in your 30s, I think, as it was in your 20s.
There's a great bit in it where, because the whole thing is, like, Borat and his daughter. So, like, it's very clever in that, like, they show him in LA as Borat, and everyone's like, "Hey, Borat." And he's like, "No, isn't that me?" Like, and he's like, "I realized I couldn't come back here as myself." So he's in disguise. He's as Borat in disguise as an American.
Right.
But his daughter is with him, and, like, they found this, I think she's, like, Ukrainian or Russian actress to play the daughter. And she's great. Like, she keeps up with him so well, like, and that the whole thing is, it's kind of her is the thing that they use to kind of trick the people, for lack of a better word. But they go to, like, I don't know if it's a cotillion or, like, a debutante ball or something like that, and Borat is talking to one of the old men, and he's like, "How much would you pay for my daughter?" And your man very quickly is like, "I don't know, $500. And, like, he's like, "Oh, very nice. Yes, yes." And then it stays on them. And your man's daughter is standing next to it. Like, he's real awful. And he's like, "You're fucking disgusting." And, like, that kind of stuff, you're like, okay. There's other stuff that you're like, is it a little bit staged, maybe? Or do they realize that the camera is on them, so they're being a bit performative?
Yeah,
for things, but that you heard about the whole thing with Giuliani, did you?
No. Oh, I just seen that Giuliani said that he was, I don't know, joking or something like that.
No, they set up a whole interview.
Oh, that he wasn't
with,
incriminating.
It's very incriminating. It's like they set up a whole interview with the daughter and Giuliani, and she asked him, would he like to go for a drink in the hotel room next door? And he's like, okay, yeah, definitely. And then, like, he is like he's been petting her or, like, you know, rubbing her arm throughout the interview. Jesus. And then he's, like, lying down on the bed and, like, he moves his hand towards his crotch. Now, he said he's tucking his shirt in, but, like, he's definitely not tucking his shirt in. Like, and, like, Borat bursts in because it had escalated very quickly. So, like, I think Sacha Baron Cohen was like, okay, we have to stop this.
Yeah.
So he bursts in and he's like, no, she's 15. She's too old for you. But when the door opens, Giuliani's like, oh, like, you know, jumps off the bed as in, yeah, like, oh, somebody's coming. Like, and I was like, fucking hell. Like,
oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
Shall we have a drink in the bedroom?
What happened?
There you go, my dear.
Okay.
There you go. Be good. You can give me your phone number and your address.
Should we slip your jacket?
Okay.
Put down your crumb! She's 15. She's too old for you.
Why are you dressed like this?
She's my daughter. Please, take me instead. Take my anus.
I don't want
No, take my anus. Do not have her.
I'm better than him.
No, I'm better.
I think he is very, very clever, Sacha Baron Cohen.
He is. He's kind of one of those minds, isn't he? Like,
he's always he always trying to be
comedy minds.
Yeah, like he's always trying to be creative and stuff like that. I just sometimes I think like some of it is funny and fascinating, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I feel bad. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for the other person.
Like, even with like that cotillion thing, it's like these people are just, you know, they're having a cotillion where they're not, like,
they're going about their lives.
Exactly, they're just living their lives. Who is it for me to say whether they're a bad person or not? Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah.
And it's like this guy, like, gate crashing their lives and shining a light on them and making them look bad. Now they're also making themselves look bad, I guess. But like,
yeah, but they didn't ask for it.
Exactly.
Attention.
Like,
yeah. Well, you know what? It sounds interesting enough, and if it's on Amazon Prime, and now that I have my, I got a golden ticket to Amazon Prime, and then maybe I'll have a look. I had a little browse through.
Some good movies there.
Didn't see anything I liked, to be honest, but I got to South Park and I was pleasantly surprised.
Six seasons of Lost. Every season
never,
of Parks
I
and Recreation.
I can't go back. The Office I might go back to. I might. I've you know what? I've really tried Parks and Rec a couple of times. I know I'd like it, but it's never hooking me like it.
I tell you what. What about New Girl?
You just keep right on driving.
I tell you. There's a character in New Girl. He's great. His name is Nick Miller, but there's a Twitter account like out of context Nick Miller or no context Nick Miller, and it's they make me smile when it's like, he's like, do you ever think that you're gonna have a stroke someday and it's gonna be really really bad? Or like, yeah,
I do enjoy those out of context Twitter.
There's so many.
There's like, some great ones with like Mac or Charlie and all that from Always Sunny. But Terry, I want to talk to you about a movie that I know you've watched before we kick off into some Simpsons chat.
Okay.
You have been watching Hereditary.
Yes, that was the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, yeah.
Now, we're going to talk about it, and there's going to be spoilers. So what we're actually going to do is cut here and move it to the end of the episode so you don't have to do all that annoying fast-forwarding and skipping.
So if you want to hear, hanging around and listening to two white guys talking about Hereditary,
stick around for one last pint at the end of the episode.
Last pint?
Yeah, whatever you people say. No. Can't believe that. And if any milk that's been out of the fridge for longer than 30 seconds is undrinkable.
I'm feeling it now, to be honest. Like, it's more purely like just to make sure that curry doesn't repeat on me. That, like,
easy, big fella. Well, listen, what did you think of it?
I fucking love this movie. We actually watched, I don't know if you ever watched it, on Monday, on the bank holiday, we watched Death Becomes Her.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
I have. I don't recall liking it.
Oh, so good, Andy.
But I only seen it when I was like a kid. I think I just didn't get it.
It was on in the house constantly when we were kids. And when we watched it again, you pick up on so much more.
Yeah, like, I'd quite like to watch it now, actually.
Like, first of all, Bruce Willis playing like a fucking, like, beaten down. Like,
I forgot he was in that.
He's like the pathetic husband in it. And there's a whole bit, like, when, like, Meryl Streep gets pushed down the stairs.
Yeah.
And her neck twists backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the reason she gets pushed down is, like, she's, like, just being, like, flaccid. Like, and like as a kid, obviously, you don't know what flaccid means. But I'm like, she's just being real mean to him. Like, yeah, you know. But, like, there's so many bits like that where you're, like...
Yeah, you just wouldn't have picked up on
them. Yeah, you wouldn't have picked up on them. It is, like, I don't think it was R-rated, but it was, like, it's very adult stuff. And like... When I was watching it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is, like, one of my favourite scenes ever. Do you remember the doctor scene?
No. I don't remember it well enough.
She's dead, but because she drank the potion, she's, you know, you live forever. Alive. Yeah. So they're in the hospital, and the doctor's like, it's like Sidney Pollack, and he's like, just put your hand back. He's like, that doesn't hurt? And she's like, no. And she's like, he's, like, twisting her arm all the way back. Or he's like, puts the stethoscope to her chest, and he's like, can't hear anything. He taps her like, oh, throws it in the bin, takes out a new one. He's trying all these things, and Bruce Willis is over drinking in the corner. So your man realized that her temperature is like below zero, her heart has stopped, and the doctor's like, yeah, can I have a sip of that?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna go get a second opinion. But I'm like, this whole like one scene of him doing it is like fucking brilliant.
It's a real sort of like, it's almost like an 80s, I don't know if the word trope is the right word to use, but that sort of like scene in a movie.
You couldn't make that movie. You couldn't make that movie now. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't make...
The humor has changed so much. Yeah, the humor, like...
It wouldn't make sense, but at the same time, like...
It only works in that setting, like, you know what I mean?
But if you showed people it today, I think they'd really appreciate it. If you tried and picked, like, okay, it's two women, like Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn, and like, I think Goldie, they said it was like 50 when she was doing it. I think Meryl's in her 40s.
Yeah. But like, Meryl Streep looked great in that movie as well.
Yeah. But there's times where but the makeup is so good because make her look really old at times. Yeah, yeah. And then when she drinks the potion, like, they have all these like fun, like her butt cheeks.
Is that on any streaming service?
It's not, actually. And I'll tell you how I got it another time. But
I feel like we say that every episode.
I'll never tell.
Terry, listen, can I talk to you about The Simpsons, please?
Sure.
More specifically, Terry, would you mind at all if I talk to you about season 7, episode 7 of The Simpsons, King Size Homer?
Go ahead.
Great. Well, let me tell you, Terry, that it aired on the Fox Network in the United States of America on November 5th, 1995, with a Nielsen rating of 10.0, which doesn't tell me this week what it equates to in household views. So I sure hope
10.0 is okay, though.
I'd say it's about, 15 million, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's better than what they've been pulling in before, Who Shot Mr. Burns. They're still on that crest.
They're riding that wave, all right, from the Who Shot Mr. Burns. Even though, like, you can't even really say that it was... I mean, I guess technically it was fading in...
because they were down to about 7. Nielsen rating was like...
We still consider it, like... Well, I guess a lot of people wouldn't consider it at the peak. There's those diehards who would consider...
Melrose Place. 1-3. Or Married with Children, apparently.
Evidently not. It was written by Dan Graney and directed by Jim Reardon. It was the first episode that Graney wrote for The Simpsons. And before this, he was working as a lawyer, and he was contemplating moving to the Ukraine to work for a startup company. But he said that this episode saved him from doing that.
What an interesting fellow.
What could have been? he pitched some ideas to the staff, but none of they basically didn't like any of them. And then showrunner Bill Oakley gave him the idea for this episode, and Oakley actually had him come to Hollywood to write it. And then, so obviously they liked it and they hired him. And the writers wanted the title of the episode. I thought this was quite interesting in sort of the way they went about it. They wanted to make Homer sound proud about his weight, so they decided to name it King Size Homer rather than like, you know, Fat Slob or something like that.
It's funny that you mention that, because I did pick up on that about halfway through it, where it's like he is talking about like he wants to be a role model for obese people.
We'll
get into that a little bit later on, I guess.
Well, they said that, you know, Grainy was saying he liked it because Homer's constantly happy and goal-oriented in it, instead of being like a slob who's eating all the time. And David Silverman designed the obese Homer for the episode, and there was a discussion about what he would wear when he became fat, so they decided to go with a muumuu, which I did not know it was called until today.
Did you
know? No.
I know from this, like, you know.
Did they say the word muumuu in the episode?
Yeah. Oh, I'll just go with the muumuu.
Of course. Okay. Well, I look stupid. The
writers 20 years, Andy.
I know. I've literally been seeing it on this episode every time. They were discussing about how they were going to treat Homer's obesity, and they didn't want him to come off as a hog, so they decided that the viewer should barely see him eating after he reaches his 300 pounds goal, which I thought was interesting.
I did notice that.
Quite well done. It was originally suggested for Homer to get his weight back that he should feel bad about his obesity and then become thin for marriage, but they scrapped that, which I think was probably the
way to go. They kind of split the difference with that, in that like he wants to become thin for marriage.
Yeah.
Even though he was very happy being obese, like.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it wasn't necessarily because he was ashamed, I guess, of being obese, but but yeah, that's it. That's all I've got on my end, Terry.
Coolio. Shall we get into it? Do you want to go with your notes?
Sure. I was actually laughing already at the first few seconds, when I just love any scene that starts away from the norm, you know? And it's the goons or whatever looking for Homer in the cubicle. And it's just the panic in his voice when they kick open the door. It's like, someone's in here.
Yeah, like he's standing. But like, I like that he's standing in the bowl.
Yeah.
Like his feet aren't on. He'll
do anything.
Yeah.
Really weird, like, I don't know what workout Mr. Burns is doing.
It's calisthenics.
Like what exactly is that?
It's jumping jacks and all that stuff. Like, so it's like,
right,
it's like exercise without weights or anything like that. Like,
oh, right.
So that's okay. like even at the end, this stuff at the end, like it's like dynamic stretching, and there's cardio elements to it and all. Like,
I like the fact that when Burns is like, raise your right hook, like instead of Mr. Burns is like the unfittest man on the planet. Like, it's how bizarre that he's teaching this. Like.
I don't know if it was at the start or at the end where he has his like Yale jersey on.
Yeah.
And he's like, bring in the love.
When do you ever hear him talking like that?
Yeah.
What else have I got?
He wants to see more Teddy Roosevelts and less Franklin Roosevelts.
I liked the where he's trying to get disabled, where he's on like the building site.
Yeah, well, he's like
the things. But like, it was more just the sort of look to the sky that he has when he's doing it. Like, he's so willing to let whatever it is, and then when he gets, he's like, probably better that didn't hit me. Someone's just killed next to him.
Yeah, it's like a wheelbarrow with like bricks that falls down. Like,
probably better that didn't hit me.
Yeah, because bucket of nails would be okay. Or a wrench.
Like, yeah, what else? A wrench.
Like,
I
did like this, and this is like that kind of, you're finding my favorite iteration of Burns, where it's like, he's not like super evil all the time.
Yeah.
Like where like he slides into Burns' office trying to like spill on oil.
Yes?
Hello.
May I help you?
Could you give me a little push in the opposite direction?
Okay.
Thank you.
A couple of seasons ago, he would have been like, get the hell out of my office, yeah. You blah, 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 you know. He's almost like too busy reading his newspaper or whatever. Like he just doesn't care.
He's like enough. Writing something. Yeah. Or something like that. I like that. Just like businessman Burns.
Yeah. Like the fact that like when Burns doesn't care enough to get angry is my favorite.
Yeah. He's Burns, just like what? Like, yeah. Yes.
Yes. So he's reading. Homer's reading up what he can possibly get. Lumber lung, juggler's despair, icky baky pelvis.
And then he realizes if he weighs 300 pounds that he'll get off work on disability. He currently weighs 239.
Yeah.
I feel like that's generous.
239? Like, yeah, like he seems like he's more than 239. Like,
yeah.
You know?
You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't say 239 is like for the amount of fat jokes that they make.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what like, I mean? Like maybe and I'm like, saying that because I'm getting closer to 239 every day.
But then I'm like,
suddenly like, it's not so bad.
Excuse
you
me.
Son of a bitch.
But like
Terry.
300 pounds, is that hyper obesity?
300 pounds, you'd be tipping the scales, all right. Well, I mean, I don't know.
14, 40. I guess it's like 21 stone.
I abandoned stone a long time ago, Terry.
You're a sap.
I'm a metric system man at heart, and I always have been.
Kilos, eh?
Yeah, 87.
Ugh.
What's your kilo weight, Terry?
90.
Oh, well, you know it at least.
It was like 90.2 or something.
I'd love to get to 90 one day.
Why would you want to get up to 90?
Then I'll turn it into muscle.
Yeah,
think
that's
of all
how
the
it
mass
works.
I'll have.
Yeah,
you gotta
easy.
Put on
Look
the
at
mass.
Me.
You gotta. It's like when you're sculpting a thing. You gotta take one slab and then you gotta chisel it.
No, you have still.
I'm
you
pretty
have
certain
arms.
That's
you could just
how
make
works.
Them bigger.
What?
You have arms. Just make them bigger.
Yeah, but you make them bigger by putting food in you, and then exercising and working out.
Yeah, but the way you're saying is like you want to get fat and then turn that fat into muscle.
Yeah.
No,
exactly
those, no, like.
Terry, I'm pretty certain that's how it works.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
See, well, we'll
I
see.
Tell you what, well, there's your challenge. Put on your 3 kilo and see how quickly you turn that 3 kilo into muscle.
I don't know how much more shit I can eat, to be honest with you.
I'll help you out. Give me your breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay. Zero items. For the first one, a roll or a wrap from Chopped.
Chopped. Well, there's where you're going wrong right there. If you want to put on weight, like it's far too healthy.
Sometimes I had a sausage and hash browns from your roll today. Right, so that's you know I rubbed it against a piece of paper and it cleared.
Yeah, even sausage and hash brown, you want to be open it. Chick-fil-A.
I get them, but they're not as filling as the others. And then, what do they have? Pork. Thing with rice, it was nice. Anyway, I don't know what this is. Now I'm just
pizza.
Telling you what I
just eat, just keep eating pizza.
I eat a lot of shit in bed. That's what I do. That's
I picture
my voice.
You with Homer with all his trays in bed.
I'm honestly not far off that. It's just full of chocolate. Anyway,
so Homer wants to get to 300.
Like the fact that he's consulting his kids and not his wife.
Yeah, yeah, but also the pig I loved as well.
The pig?
Where he's like, you can do it, old boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
the
bird.
And then you have the... I did actually laugh when he's telling Bart about his plan and then Lisa just turns around from that giant pillow.
Like
Dad,
in the beanbag. Yeah. Dad.
Yes, honey.
So, like, I liked where how Homer's like, when Lisa's giving out to him, saying that he's taking advantage of, you know, a program for people who are genuinely disabled.
Yeah.
I love he's like, I'm not saying it isn't sleazy, honey.
Yeah.
But then he, I've been an obese man trapped in a fat man's body all my life.
I was a fan when he finally goes when he goes to Dr. Hibbert, who's like,
good lord, that's monstrous.
But he's happy to recommend someone who will.
Yeah.
And I did like Nick Riviera's advice, where he's like, I recommend a slow, steady gorging process combined with acyl horizontology.
You'll want to focus on the neglected food groups, such as the whipped group, the congealed group, and the chocotastic.
Just even his little, like, be creative.
Instead of making sandwiches with bread, use Pop-Tarts.
Now,
instead of chewing gum, chew bacon. I like the bacon. Sound of that.
Pop-Tarts instead of bread. That sounds great to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the idea of chewing bacon instead of gum.
Chew the fat?
Chew it all, man. I mean, you have to cook it first, like, obviously, but... like...
You know, Terry, here's a little fact for you, right? Do you know where the phrase chew the fat comes from?
I'm guessing it has something to do with bacon.
Yes. It was like that Simpsons one where he's like, now you must answer this question about Japan.
Is the answer Japan?
Actually, it is. it was back in the olden times, they'd hang like rinds of bacon in the kitchen. And when someone would come over, they'd cut a little piece off and chew it as they talked. And it was called chewing the fat.
Ah, very. Now,
the source for that fact is Carl Pilkington. But it sounds, he says it's true. So.
It sounds plausible.
But it sounded plausible. That's why I'm quoting it again.
If I could be left on a desert island with one food, it would be bacon.
It'd be so, very, very, very salty for just one food.
Yeah.
Would you have water?
I'm on an island.
You can't drink the water.
I'll bring a filtration system as well.
Be creative.
Yeah. No, I would.
A filtration system. Why did you bring a lazy boy and a flat screen TV?
No electricity, man. But the lazy boy. Look.
That'd be silly.
Yeah. I've told you, I'm almost finished watching Lost. I've learned a lot of stuff from that show. They were on an island.
No. I wouldn't take life lessons from anything on that
rain
show.
Rainwater. It's definitely going to rain. I just gather the rainwater.
Well, we'll come back
to coconuts.
This. No, you'll never be able to open it.
Yeah, crack it on your skull.
I won't be there, mate.
Yeah, well, I didn't tell you the second part, Andy. See. I didn't tell you the second part. You're stuck there too.
Anyway.
And what would your food be?
If I was to bring it on a desert island?
Yeah.
Burgers.
Boy.
What?
You're not getting any of my bacon for your burger.
I don't want it. Well, I want, well, give us a, bit, no. give a little bit for the burger.
No way, man.
You're sitting on mountains of bacon there. Just a little strip of it.
Yeah. Well, you're sitting on plain old burgers. Because you can't bring any sauce.
No, they're ready made. They're ready made. And wrapped.
A bunch of patties. Great. But you can't bring any sauce.
They're pre-made burgers.
No, that's born as well.
There's jalapenos on them. There's cheese.
No.
Look, it's you my get the patty. Island fantasy. That's it.
You get the patty.
I did tell you. I woke up from a dream last night, right? And I was like, we were about to podcast and you said, hang on, just give us about 20 minutes there. I just have to watch the episode. And I'm sitting there like, he hasn't fucking watched the episode. Like, he's not many times, always like a thing here. And it's like, a fucking 20 minutes of this here. And now I woke up like, fuck's sake. And then I was like, bollocks, it's Thursday. I haven't watched the episode. And I always haven't watched by now. I was like, shit. That was literally my subconscious telling me, don't forget to watch The Simpsons today.
I always try and keep it to a Thursday to watch it. So it's fresh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never watch it on Thursday. When do you get a chance to watch it?
Sometimes.
Like when you're normally in work, would you watch it in work?
I might watch it on the travel to work.
Oh, nice.
So I'm that guy chuckling away on the dart a lot of the time. or like last week, I watched it like an hour before, after I put Bonnie to bed, we watched it an hour before we recorded.
An hour before?
Yeah, it was great.
That's mental.
Because it was so fresh in my mind.
Ah,
I watched this one today on my lunch break. I was working from home.
I too watched it on my lunch break. I watched it with my brother Ben, who was in the office, who had never seen it before.
How old is old Ben these days?
He is 15, nearly 16, I think. But yeah, he'd never seen it. I forget that, like, you know, there's people
What's the
a
Simpsons,
lot younger
old
than...
man?
Yeah, I know. Now, one question I was going to ask you in this episode was, remember when he's buying, like, the weight gain stuff?
And
he's
yeah.
like, lucky for you, this stuff done white.
Yeah.
I was
thinking
Have you ever used supplements in your workout regime?
I have. I used to use Thermoball.
What is that?
So it was like it's like a green tea booster thing that helps. It was for losing weight, so it helps speed up. It's like, I think they say to take it like an hour before you work out.
Yeah.
And I think before meals as well, so it gets your metabolism moving before you start doing these things.
And did it work?
Yeah, it's quite good. But it like, there's no point in you getting it if you're not gonna be active. You know, like if I'm just gonna be like, yeah, I'm just gonna sit on my ass and eat my Thermoball,
and not
exercise. It's just
that'll do the job.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to be like, and that was when I was like gymming it like 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah,
you know.
It was a similar, when I was gymming it nearly every day, I would take creatine, protein.
You were really trying to bulk up, like.
And pre-workout as well beforehand. And that fucking stuff.
The pre-workout, like, sends you to the moon, like.
It does send you to the moon. I'd be in work and it'd be great, but, like, I'd be there at, like, 12 o'clock on my leg. I'd just be twitching, like, at my desk.
Oh, God.
Like, my foot just bouncing up and down, like, Jesus. And then I kind of found that it would really sort of affect my mood. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be so fucking hopped up. It's like, it's literally like 30 cans of Coke or something worth of caffeine. Something mental like that.
And is there sugar in it?
There must be. It was insane. But I would never take that again.
And then you come down like, I'm sad now.
It was like that. It's like, come on, I'm empty. I'm sad now. I don't know why. So anyway... where were we?
Oh yeah, so he,
I have to say, I like Bart helping him along with his little journey, even though it's like for not such a noble cause. It's quite a nice little father son bonding thing.
You get the good joke where Homer rubs Bart rubs the sandwich on the wall, and the bird flies into it.
I think of that joke all the time.
It's a good joke. You know what I
mean? Yeah, very good.
And I did always like the whole thing where it's like the weight gain. And he's like, 225? That means I lost weight.
Yeah.
He's like, you're on the tail rack, Homer. And it's like, 296.
Yeah.
And then he gets his little fantasy.
I love this fantasy where where it's like, you're such a vigorous young go-getter.
Yeah. The way like, she says vigorous. Rigorous young go-getter.
When's your next break? like... It's hilarious that compared to the actual reality of working from home.
Yeah. Like this is,
it is nothing like that.
It was very like prescient episode. Like he's trying to work from home. And I'm like, at the moment, like a lot of us are working from home. I'm like, oh man, I struggle.
Yeah.
Work from home. My job anyway. Like
it at all.
I can't adapt to it.
No. I thought beforehand, like
I'd love it. Like I thought I would.
Yeah, I thought fucking brilliant. I'm gonna milk this and work from home every opportunity that I can get. And now I'm like, nope.
Get me back in there.
Get me in. Get me back to my routine.
Yeah, exactly. Like I am completely unmoored. I don't know what I'm doing.
I love that expression. Unmoored.
Yeah.
What else? I love the visual scene. It was probably one of the best visual gags in the episode where Homer gets in the bed and Marge, just even the little bounce beforehand and then lands just right on top of him. And like fat Homer is like really like sweet. He's just like, oh, hello, honey.
Yeah, you know? But like what I picked up on was like Marge is like saying, "Did you put on a little weight this week?" And this I was like, week. "This is all in space in a week."
61 pounds in a week.
Fucking crazy, man.
And then
but when she's like, I would love you if you weighed 1,000 pounds. He's like, good night.
And then the biggest laugh that I got in this episode, and I've quoted it many times on this, when Mr. Burns is welcoming them or whatever, and he's like,
"It will allow our safety inspector here to perform his duties from home. And so, excelsior to you, Mr. What's the name of this gastropod?"
"Simpson, sir, one of your chair moisteners from Sector 7G.
"Yes, Simpson!
Thank you for your pity.
I'd like to present this, whatever, to..." He's like, "Smithers, what's the name of this gastropod?"
Smithers, like, "One of your chair moisteners from Sector 7G. I did like as well when Lisa was asking Marge about, like, "Aren't you going to stop this?" It's like, "Normally your father's crackpot schemes fizzle out as soon as he finds something good on TV." He's like, "But this season?" I'm like, yeah, it's very good. I like that.
And as well, your man in the shop where he's looking by... Huh?
Let me guess. Computer programmer? Computer magazine columnist? Something with computers.
"Well, I work with a computer."
Yeah, he's like, "Must be a non-stop sitting and snacking." "Well, sir, many of our clients find pants confining. So we offer a range of alternatives for the ample gentleman. Ponchos, muumuus, capes, jumpsuits, unisheets, Muslim body rolls, academic and judicial robes."
"I don't want to look like a freak. I'll just take the muumuu." It's the delivery of that, like, little under the breath. "Must be the non-stop sitting and snacking." "Well, sir."
Yeah.
Like, clearly he's hearing you.
And the one they pick with the, like, the muumuu with the blue muumuu with the red flowers, like.
Yeah. It's a nice little that he's got a little special outfit for this episode. You know what I mean? Yeah. Something different.
And you see, like you say, he does seem genuinely happy. Like when he's at home, gas brake honk, honk honk punch, gas.
Yeah. Well, plus, like you remember, even when I think it was before in the one where Maggie makes three, where we were talking about how Homer's just so happy with his lot and he's not even really asking for a whole lot. And then it's a similar thing in this that, like, he's just like, he's obviously neglecting the serious health benefits and all that sort of stuff, but he's kind of just happily going along as like this.
Yeah, like he's very content in himself. Yeah. Like, there was another way for him to be like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Some healthy way. Also, I have a note. Does Homer have the easiest job in history? And he's a nuclear safety technician. Like, is that his job at work?
It seems like this is the first time he ever did his job.
Yeah.
You know? And when he vents the gas, one of my favorite lines, "Oh no, the corn.
Yeah.
Paul Newman's going to have my legs broke."
That was like some... I never got that reference. It was the legend of Newman's Own popcorn products, where Newman threatened anyone who would attempt to steal his popcorn, apparently.
Hey, that's Paul Newman for you. He doesn't mess around.
Especially when it comes to popcorn.
"Homer, I'll tell you what I told Redford. It ain't gonna happen."
I like the little backstory that you don't really get to see, where Marge says how sensitive Homer is.
Yeah.
When we laughed at his Sherlock Holmes hat, he sulked for a week and then closed his detective agency.
Yeah. There's a lot of good, like, the dialogue, like, is very good in this episode. I think I found myself not being like super laugh out loud, but like really appreciating, like you say, that the dialogue or the delivery. Like, Marge has a lot of good ones.
Yeah, she does.
Like, and like you say, that guy must be the nonstop sitting and snacking. Like, there's nothing that like really wowed me, but at the same time, I was
sort of chuckling along all the
way
through.
Yeah, really appreciated the writing.
The TV show that they're watching.
We now return to Search for the Sun.
According to Daddy's will, I inherit the entire plantation.
I'll see to it you don't get Apricot One.
Just the classic, like, soap opera. Like.
Yeah, it's great. Apricot One is brilliant. Yeah,
I'll see to it you don't get Apricot One.
And it's that, like, whatever manly voice that they always do.
Yeah, almost that, like, Dirk Squarejaw, like, tough guy sort of.
It kind of sounds like the vet, you know, like.
This is the part of the job I
hate. Yeah, you know.
I was a big fan of the line when they're looking at Homer through the window and Jimbo's like, I heard that guy's ass has his own Congress. Yeah. And the little high five with Nelson, like, yeah.
Well, I like that. I was like, what's your dad's job again? He's like, he's a nuclear safety technician. Like, he's just sitting there, like, with a broom.
What's he doing with that broom? And then
he's trying to get up and yell at us. Don't make me close the shade.
When he decides then he's going for a movie, this is possibly one of the most memorable, like, Simpsons jokes where he's just like, first of all,
the manager, like, is so good.
Yeah.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but I'm afraid our facilities are not equipped to meet your needs.
What are you talking about?
Well, what I'm saying, sir, is that a man of your carriage couldn't possibly fit in our seats.
Well, I could sit in the aisle.
I'm afraid that would violate the fire code.
Hey, fatty, I got a movie for you. A Fridge Too Far.
Shame on all of you. Give me my dignity. I just came here to see Honk If You're Horny in peace.
Sir, if you just quiet down, I'd be happy to treat you to a garbage bag full of popcorn.
This may surprise you, but you can't buy me off with food. I'm sick of all your stereotypes and cheap jokes. The overweight individuals in this country are just as smart and talented and hardworking as everybody else. And they're going to make their voices heard. All they need is a leader.
It's your man. It's that classic. Raphael. What's your man's name? Raphael. Hey, Fanny.
I got a movie for you.
A Fridge Too Far. What a classic line.
And, like, it's actually really good speech from Homer.
Yeah.
He's like, they just came here to watch Honk If You're Horny in Peace. And he's like, if you just quiet down, I'd be happy to treat you to a garbage bag full of popcorn. And, like, the little, like, from Homer, like.
Like, he's disgusted.
Yeah. And, like, this is the kind of thing I wanted to narrow in on, where I was like, they're doing it. I guess it's a body positive episode, but also, like, they're kind of mixing their messages, like, in that, like. Yeah. You know, they're actively making light of somebody gaining weight.
Yeah.
You know, or actively being unhealthy.
Yeah.
And, like, they are, it's good that they're proud of it, but also, if it was, maybe if it was, like, Homer gaining weight because he was happy and it, like, to get to his weight where it's not, like, physically dangerous for him.
Yeah.
It would be a bit more balanced, I think. Whereas this, they're kind of mixing their messages when they're saying, like, oh, it's good to be positive about the way you feel in your body. But don't actively... I personally think you shouldn't actively be trying to endanger your health.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it's a little bit muddled in that sense. I don't even think that they'd say the word fatty in The Simpsons now.
No.
You know, even if it was... in some completely comedic circumstance, I don't think that they'd use a joke like that, you know. I had a little chuckle at the way the extra little strangle that he gave the bird when he comes home and realizes the bird is down. He's like, like, he's really almost like struggling with it. But when he's hitching a ride to go to try and stop the explosion,
the first one. Well, before he tries to ring them.
Yeah,
I was like. The fingers you have used to dial are too fat. To obtain a special dialing wand, please mash the keyboard with your palm now.
That's the joke that gets used a lot. Are too fat. And they actually got your... what's your one's name? Joan Kenley? She guest starred. The staff flew her in to record her part. She's obviously some sort of like famous
for
person.
What?
I think maybe even for just the phone voice.
Really? Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah. That they got Jesus. The actual person. Now I could be wrong on that, but she was someone special enough that they made a point of saying we got her for the telephone lady.
Right.
But
I did love the next joke where, and I always say this to myself. A joke be like, "Fat don't fail me now," and just like the four tires,
skateboard works. And then when he goes to try and explain himself to the ice cream guy,
well, even the guy beforehand, where like it's just the regular car, and he's like, "Hey, buddy, you gonna slow your car down and let me in because I'm a big fat guy and I can't go anywhere." Because the cookies and boys and gas. I mean, there's really going to be boys and gas. Really and everyone's going to be dead, especially me. And like, your man just drives off. Like,
he goes off.
Yeah.
But when he goes to the ice cream guy, he's not even listening to him. He's like, just take it. Take whatever you want, man. Take it all. <He's> like, the panic in his voice.
Hey, buddy, you going to let me in your car? He's like,
It's like, this isn't the first time this has happened to him.
He knows when to cut bait.
So then, I mean, he kind of gets to it.
Well, there's a good Ralph line as well, where it's like, "And I heard your dad went into a restaurant and ate everything in the restaurant, and they have to close the restaurant." Like, it's good writing using the word restaurant like three times in a repeatedly. Sentence for him. Like,
it's something you would definitely imagine Ralph saying.
Yeah.
So he goes in and everyone's in the middle of Mr. Burns's calisthenics.
And it's good that like it gives you the countdown.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like
suspense.
I need
three
10.
High.
Ten more Iroquois twists.
Yeah, Iroquois twists.
Yeah,
like the words he uses. Raise your right hook. Ten more Iroquois twists.
But it does seem like it's like out of an exercise book from the 1930s or something. Yeah, like
and I mean, when he finally reaches in, I mean, surely there was another way that he could have gotten this turned off or
what? Well, that's the joke,
you know. Yeah,
he's like, "Wait a minute, there's probably a
But just before he's even gotten to that stage, like, could he not have tried to phone or tell Flanders to phone? You know what I mean? In reality, he goes through so many efforts. He's right at the top of this thing, and then I was thinking, like, he would surely as well be dead if he was even half of him was stuck in there.
Yeah, well, I guess that was the whole joke of like,
we'll get you decontaminated.
Yeah.
And then I have to say, I like the ending where it's just Homer and Burnsy.
One. It's like, and he just like throws the cone on the ground, like.
Even just the fact that he's got the cone, like, it's just, everything's funny about Burnsy.
The fact that he's like, "Can you make me thin again?" It's like, "I guarantee it." Like, and he's actually taking the time out of his morning to do it. Like, you know,
where's this Burns been?
Yeah,
like he's just genuinely helpful and not at all evil in this episode.
Yeah, and like we skipped over the part, but like, it is good that like they actually bring up the fact that Marge says that she's like not as attracted to Homer.
Yeah,
anymore, like. Like, because it probably, you know, everybody can say, you know, I love you as much.
Yeah.
But like,
even as she says,
60 pounds is what? Like, 60 pounds is a lot. Like,
is a lot.
You would notice it. I'd put it that way.
Yes. You would. Yeah, it was nice to get a little real moment like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And then, of course, I forgot about that line. It's like, "The slim, lazy Homer you knew is dead.
Yeah.
Now I'm a big fat dynamo. Now where's that cake?" Shall we get into our ratings? Because that ended the episode, really.
Yes, sir.
We want you to tell us what you think. And be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Sucker.
Mm-hmm.
What's your final thoughts?
I like the episode, I have to say. I don't know why, or maybe it's just because it, you know, when you hear a king size Homer, it's a very distinctive one in your head.
Yeah. You've been honey dicked.
I thought it was gonna be like more iconic or something, like, you know, it was missing that X factor, for lack of a better
I know what you mean.
Word, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the Uncle Cracker theme song.
And I don't think anyone thought you
I got
did.
Everything I ever wanted. No. And I'll never give that back.
He'll be singing for hours. Who's your MVP?
MVP is... I gotta go with Homer, I think. Mm-hmm. A lot of good stuff. Because it's a different Homer.
Yeah, you know? It is.
It's a slightly
he's not so angry. Homer's not angry and Burns is just totally nice. It's quite odd.
Yeah, it's slightly more pathetic Homer, for lack of a better... Yeah. You know, like, you feel a bit more for him.
Yeah.
My rating would be an 8.5.
Oh, okay.
So, well, good. Good. Good Simpsons, not great Simpsons.
I'd be inclined to agree. I did laugh quite a bit. It was interesting. It was a different kind of episode. I always like different. But yeah, it was one of those ones. Didn't quite live up to my memory or what I thought sort of going in. Although I have to say, I've been looking at like the next like 4 or 5 episodes and they are all killer.
Yeah.
At least on paper.
That's what I mean. In your memory palace, they're all killer.
Yeah, so that's a good expression, in my memory palace. My MVP, I'm going to give it to Burnsy.
Oh, very good. Dink.
Yeah, I just like him in this one.
Yeah, he's very good in this one.
My rating would be an 8.2.
That's pretty good for you.
So, yeah. So that is that, as they say.
That.
Delightful.
As they say, is that.
Now, don't ask me what we've got coming up next week, Terry, because I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what we got next week.
Go on.
Mother Simpson.
Hmm.
With a fabulous guest turn from many-time Oscar nominee, but never a winner, Glenn Close.
Always a bridesmaid, huh?
Yeah, one of these days.
Has she never won?
Never won.
She's
nominated like 6 or 7 times.
Jesus. Well, that's something. Seconds right after first.
Yeah, but she could have been 5th out of 5.
True. Terry, can we get our plugs in, please, for the love of God?
Why don't you tell the good people where they can find us online?
Twitter.
Yes?
I said Twitter, Instagram, at putitinhpod. You can get us on, you can email us, putitinhpod@gmail.com.
Any emails?
We do, but it's for the Patreon, so I'll save it for that.
Well, now that you mentioned Patreon, we're over there at putitinhpod on the old Patreon. If you type it in, we are creating podcasts, apparently, but we are. If you subscribe to our feed for the low, low price of $5 a month, you get 2 episodes of our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where basically I'm telling Andy what's so great about this topic, and he's asking the question, what's so great about it? We're doing our first mini-series. It's on the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Up next week, we've got Black Panther, which I'm very excited to talk about and see what Andy has to say about it. Could make or break the whole experiment, to be honest.
I've got a real stitch, Terry, I don't mind telling you. I'm in the fucking dungeons here because I was too loud last week and I woke everyone up.
Okay.
Having too good a time and now I'm fucking in here.
You got a stitch from sitting?
Yeah. Yes.
My God, you're unfit.
sitting on a beanbag for the last hour and whatever 45 minutes or however long this podcast has gone on. But I don't have any chairs in this room. No, I didn't think to bring one in.
Maybe bring one in between this one and the next.
Yeah,
one.
I will. Don't you worry.
Yeah,
you can find us on Patreon. We got a whole bunch of extra stuff.
We got other bonus eps going on up there as well.
It's really where it's all going on, frankly.
Really is. We got the Simpsons here, and you'll always get your Simpsons stuff here.
You'll get it early there. You'll get it earlier than Monday. We give you access as soon as it's ready. Anyway, what else was? Oh yeah, Terry, how's your Hall of Stars?
Well, I I need them, Andy.
Your bag is looking a little light there now. Yeah, if I may say, we've had quite an influx of new listeners this week. I don't understand it. I'm somewhat skeptical, but they're there. Yeah. So if you're just joining us for the first time, thanks. Welcome. And you're leave us a 5-star review and then get out.
Yeah, Christmas is coming. You know what? Since I can't go around trick-or-treating this year, give me stars for Halloween. That's what I want. Five stars. And I don't mean a star bar. I mean 5-star review and a rating.
That's it.
Five stars. Yep. Only.
And thank you very much for those who have. Do you know, Terry, that we are ranked in the top, according to the thing that I subscribe to, the 9th all-time Ireland TV review podcast?
Hello.
So,
what's number one, out of curiosity?
Monkey Tennis. The Alan Partridge one. No, I don't know, but that's up there. There's loads. There's Talking Sopranos is always number one. Don't you worry about that. That's unmovable.
Talking Sopranos? I've never heard of this.
No, don't you give them an extra listen. We need it.
I mean, we can do a Sopranos podcast. I'm sure it's better than what those crumb bums are doing.
It's literally the actors from the Sopranos.
Okay, well then.
But anyway.
Your head in the toilet, Andy. Disgusting.
On that note, I don't have anything else to add. Terry,
have a happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird one.
There's no trick-or-treating going on this year, so...
Fucking right there isn't.
Yeah, so we're having our own Halloween.
There's still kids skulking around the streets after dark.
I know.
Who knows what they're up
to. Spare me.
Hey, how about this last night? Man United won 5-0.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're out.
Yeah. Goodbye. Fucking tell you. So we did a little fun thing where it was me and Faye started watching it. Faye's brother and his wife started watching it, and Faye's sister and her partner, the two of them started watching it as well at the same time. So we
had video party.
Yeah, but we weren't on like chats or weren't on like a video call, but we have a group, a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of they were like, oh shit, or you know, so like straight away I was hooked in terms of, because I'd already seen Midsommar, but like the aesthetics in the house and everything, like, and I fucking,
like, they're similar but they're so different as well, you know what I mean, like Midsommar is more like disturbing and intense kind of thing, and this is kind of like, if I feel like this movie took about maybe 40 minutes to get going properly, and then when it got going it just didn't stop.
It's funny because like it starts with a funeral, really, like, and whereas Midsommar starts with like murder, suicide, you know, and it's like, they both start with death, but like some one is a bit more, one is the old age death and one is like the daughter killing the parents, like,
were you like, Jesus, I even forgot about that.
Yeah.
Were you like, holy shit, when the kid got decapitated?
I wasn't sure if the head came off or it was just smashed in.
I thought, like, it just went back. Yeah.
But like, the whole thing of, I was like, what the fuck is he doing when she's like, because she's having, and like, I'm like, why are they showing the nuts? And I was like, you know, when they're all chopping up nuts. I did obviously pick up because the parents are like, that doesn't have nuts in it, does it?
Yeah.
And then as she's eating it, like, they don't draw a huge amount of attention to it, but it's like, I was like, her fucking face has gone so red.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it was really, she was like, they were all actually great. There was great acting in it the whole way through.
You know, Toni Collette, like, I was thinking, if this film had come out in the 70s, she would have like won an Oscar for that performance, because she was fucking amazing in it.
She was. Like, she was brilliant.
It's like, just unhinged, but also like what'd you say? You sit there with your face on your face.
Yeah.
or something like that. Like, and
there's loads of just really memorable scenes, like where she's yelling at whoever it is in bed, and then the next scene she's like dripping wet and she's still yelling, and then I'm like, what's going on?
That was a dream where he was like, they're screaming at each other, and like, he's wet first. I was like, what? Is he sweating? And then like, she's covered in the fucking lighter fluid. I love that sort of shit. Yeah. Like,
or like, she's there in the room and you can see the thing up on the roof or something like that. You know, like, so many of these.
When he was really in the room and she was perched up in the corner.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Like, she's scuttling around and chasing him. And then she's banging her head off the attic.
Yeah. And then, like, when he throws the book in the fire, or she does or whatever, and he just goes up, like,
his face,
yeah,
like proper, like, what the fuck? Like, but he was great in it. He was like the hero of the film.
Yeah.
Then I'm like,
I really wasn't expecting that as well with the fire. I was waiting for her just to go up, or whatever, like. And I was like, oh, you are joking.
But
he was brilliant. I just love seeing Gabriel Byrne in movies. I don't know why. I love watching him.
Love that he's got to this point now where it's like, so I'm just like being me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, it's very much the Anthony Hopkins NAR, no acting required. Like, he's like, so I don't have to put on an accent or anything. Like, I'm just Gabriel, like, work away, like, it's grand. You came here 20 years ago, whatever, so you still have a bit of your accent. Great, no worries.
It's true, that, isn't it, for certain actors?
They're just at that bit in their career.
Morgan Freeman is probably like that as well.
We talked about Jeff Goldblum last week, where it's just like, you know, okay, just be you.
Just do you.
Yeah. But I thought it was fucking great. One of the best horrors I've seen in a long time, even though it's not that scary. It's a lot of like, oh shit,
loads of those sort of moments where you're like, oh no way, or you know, something like that.
We actually watched, I don't know if you ever watched it, on Monday on the bank holiday, we watched Death Becomes Her.
Oh yeah,
have you seen that?
I have. I don't recall liking it.
So good, Andy.
Like, but I only seen it when I was like a kid. I think I just didn't get it.
It was on in the house constantly as when we were kids.